You may want notes, because I didn't write down everything for you on them. So if you're a note taker and it's important to you, you're going to want to do that. Tonight, I'm calling this Jude, and we're chipping away deceit. Verse 21, fasten your hearts to the love of God and receive the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. Now, everybody tonight's going to get a bag of chips or popcorn because we're chipping away deceit. And I know that what's been going on, Jude is just continually knocking away at the lies, at the slander, at the mockery, and the things that are coming. He really intended to write this book like, hey, we're all good friends, we're serving the same God, but it ended up where he just had to come in and hit up some stuff. So I want to ask you a question tonight, and I seriously want you to answer this. Why be a Christian? Why be a Christian? Cindy? It beats the alternative. To get closer to God. I can't hear you. Because that's where life begins. Anybody else? I think that for some people, it could be a ticket to heaven. For some people, it's a political advantage to say you're a Christian. For some people, they think it looks good on a resume or makes people feel good about them. Some people want to be a Christian, so somebody will date them. But for those of us who believe that there is life after death, yes, absolutely, this is where life begins for us. And it's because we are a people who recognize that we can't do this life on our own, that there's something else that's needed. And the creation isn't going to ask the creation how to live. The creation should be asking the Creator. But, you know, a lot of times people come in here and, you know, they think, oh, well, we don't need this God stuff. And certainly in our day and time that we live, God's the one that everybody's pointing to as the problem. And, of course, the enemy's having a little party about that, but his day's coming. And there's something that we should be doing, because the truth is that God is always going to have a people. But if I drove a Chevrolet car and I filled that car up with gas at Kroger, I was buying that car through a bank, and I had Geico insurance, which I wish they'd kill the lizard off, but that's just me. So here's the things. If something went wrong with my car, I wouldn't call the bank, even though they're financing it, and say, hey, can you fix my car? I certainly wouldn't call Kroger and say, hey, you know, I get my gas from you. Can you tell me how to work this car and make it work? They'd just be like, really, crazy lady? And I wouldn't call Geico and say, hey, can you fix my car? I'm paying you guys every month. All three of you are getting money out of me, and can you fix this car? Why? Because those are just things that meet the needs of the physical being of that car, and they're not the creator. They don't know how it's going to work. And here's the thing. Why would I entrust my soul then to political views, to somebody's opinion, to an employer? Why would I trust my soul to Hollywood or movie? Why would I do that? Because people have now begun to think that if we can reason something out and it's logical, let's just go with it, because really, it's a form of pride. We know so much more and we don't need these things. And listen, the Bible's clear. There's sin for a season. But everybody suffers because of sin, whether it's someone else doing that to you or you doing it to someone else. It will come to an end. So here's reasoning for you. This makes about as much sense. Chocolate comes from cocoa, which comes out of a tree. That makes it a plant. Therefore, chocolate counts as a salad. The end. Now, does that make sense? And they all said, I got a bunch of amens on that one. But here's the thing. Logic doesn't make something true. Fame doesn't make something honest. And we've begun to believe people who have fame and people who have logic. And in the beginning, science, you know, people say, well, Christians aren't for science. We're all for science. Science has proven who God is. Einstein himself said, because of what he had studied, that's why he believed. Some of the early physicists from Denmark who won Nobel Prizes said the same thing. It had proven to them that there had to be a God. And yet today we're just taking it off that these people, it seems like whoever can get the most attention in the news or who has the most money are the people that we believe. But I want to tell you something. Passion and purpose don't make people or life honorable. Just because somebody has passion about their purpose doesn't mean that they're good or honorable. But we get caught up in those passions of people and we get swept away with their emotions. Proverbs 19:2 talks about it, and it says that ignorant zeal is worthless and haste makes waste. That's out of the Message. But here's the thing. I'm watching, like Jude, these people who are coming in with all this passion, and the believers are being swept away because people have what we would call today charisma. They got a group of people around them. People all want to feel a part of something. They want a purpose, so they go and get in agreement with them. But think about it. Passion does not equate with truth. Because every murderer was passionate when he murdered. Every rapist was passionate when they committed that act. Every chocoholic is passionate when they see chocolate for free, right? You get passionate about these things. So purpose and passion, the thing that I'm seeing in today, I think that in Jude's time, they were motivated by affluence because the disciples had some affluence after Jesus died and rose, and people wanted that affluence, and some of them wanted fame, and some of them wanted to be served because, he talked about how they were coming in and eating their food and messing up with their feast and putting themselves first, and it's the opposite to what Jesus did. But I'm watching people today, and their purpose and their passions have as their fruit hatred. It's like that's what stirs people, and that's what they just get all excited about when they see somebody hating on a group. It just swells up with passion and purpose. Oh, yes, let's go after them. And it's hate-based. And the truth is, hate-driven is the purpose. That's their value. And it's toxic. And I'm going to go so far as to say that anything that is hate-driven is demonic, because we know from John that God is love, and anything that's driven and motivated by hate is not of God. And we need to recognize it. So I see that in 2 Corinthians 7:1-12. I also see that in Isaiah 37:28-29. So now I want to go over with you some things that are lies today and things that are truth. Jesus was a prophet, this is a lie, and a good man. Boy, that's just like the apple, isn't it? You have to agree with part of that, but that's not the truth. That's a lie. Jesus is Lord, according to Jude 1:4. All these scriptures we're going to go in, you're just going to see in Jude where he's just chipping away at these lies, and the lies are still being perpetrated today. The lie is being forgiven of sin gives us a license to sin. Jude 1:4 says that being forgiven of sin is what causes us to turn away from sin. When you're grateful for something, you'll quit it. The lie is you can love God without loving Jesus. Jude 1 and verse 8:10 both say to deny Jesus is to deny God. The lie is to have to look out for yourself. The truth is, the Holy Spirit leads us to put others before ourselves. That's Jude 1:19. Follow your heart no matter what it leads you to do. That's a lie. Oh, follow your heart Where's your heart leading you? When Jeremiah tells us that the heart is wicked and deceitful, we don't even know sometimes what our motives are. That's why I have to go before the Lord. Lord, why would I even want that? Because my motives can get so messed up. See, here's the thing, guys. Being a Christian, no, it's not a license to sin, but neither is it a stamp of perfection. I'm dependent on God for truth. So when people say, follow your heart, Jude 1:21 says, follow Jesus no matter where he leads you. The lie is real Christians don't have doubts. How many of you in this room know that you're Christians and you battle doubts? Please, let's be honest. There's just days where you wake up and you go, I don't even know if this is going to work or not. But that's what faith is. Faith is this thing that says, even though I don't know, I still trust him more than anything else that I see or hear. And the lie is that good people go to heaven. The truth is, in Jude 1:24, and we're going to get to this more next week, only people who give their lives to Jesus spend eternity in heaven. So let me read to you from the Passion Translation, verses 14 through 21, or through 23. Enoch, the seventh direct descendant from Adam, Enoch was Levi's father, the priest, who prophesied of their doom when he said, look, here comes the Lord Yahweh and his countless myriads of holy ones. He comes to execute judgment against them and to convict each of them for their ungodly deeds and all the terrible words that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, I just want to stop here and say this. Jude is validating something that Enoch said that obviously was taught in the church that was known as the truth because he was a prophet. But there is a book of Enoch. And a lot of people get caught up in these books outside the Bible and then they're like, ooh, we're going to learn something new and something different. That book was not proven true because it wasn't written by Enoch. It was written by people about Enoch. And while this quote may be in there, I don't want you to get sidetracked on these books. And the reason I'm telling you is this. If it's not in the Bible, even though Jude quotes him, hey, Enoch was a prophet, there were things he said legitimately. But just because those things were said doesn't justify the whole book any more than some of the teachings that you can find in New Age may have a portion of even a scripture in them. It doesn't mean that they're truth. And I don't want you guys to get sidetracked. And people say, oh, well, I've read the Bible. I'm ready. No, you will never read the Bible and glean all the understanding from it until you get to heaven. You're never going to get it all. So stick with the thing that's going to bring life. These people are always complaining, verse 16 says, and never satisfied, finding fault with everyone. They follow their own evil desires, and their mouths speak scandalous things. They enjoy using seductive flattery to manipulate others. But you, my delightfully loved ones, remember the prophecies of the apostles of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. They taught you, in the last days there will always be mockers, motivated by their own ungodly desires. These people cause divisions and are followers of their own natural instincts, devoid of the life of the Spirit. But you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Man, you know, I'd love it if that was true about me. But I'm not praying every moment in the Spirit. I wonder how much more victorious I could be if I would. But let's just be honest. We're going off on, oh, well, I think this will work. Instead of, Lord, what do you want me to do? It seems so simple, guys, but we get so caught up with these things. Verse 20, but you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up in the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Fasten your hearts to the love of God and receive the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. Keep being compassionate to those who still have doubts and snatch others out of the fire to save them. Be merciful over and over to them, but always couple your mercy with the fear of God. Why? Because we get into soulish mercy and not into the mercy of God. Because I want you to know, sometimes it's merciful to let somebody come to the end of themselves without you intervening and making it okay for what they do because you feel sorry for them. So he says, mercy with the fear of God. Be extremely careful to keep yourselves free from the pollutions of the flesh. Man, that could be a whole sermon right there, but let's continue. So we talked about the lies. We've talked about the truth. I want to read 1 John 4, verses 1 through 8 to you. If you want to turn there, it's 1 John 4, 1 through 8. Delightfully loved friends, don't trust every spirit, but carefully examine what they say to determine if they are of God, because many false prophets have mingled into the world. So here's the thing. Jude knows the teachings of John. He knows the teachings of Paul. And Paul is sometimes referring back to the works of Jude, even though it's the smallest book in the Bible. Why? Because they're just trying to chip away at all these lies. They're just chipping away at what we've made God become. Not who he is, but what we've decided he is. We've put him in a form. We keep putting him in boxes. And he says, because many false prophets have mingled into the world. Here's the test for those who, with the genuine Spirit of God, who they are. They will confess Jesus as the Christ who came in the flesh. Everyone who does not acknowledge that Jesus is from God has the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is already active in the world. Little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them, for the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who's in this world. They belong to this world, and they articulate the spirit of this world, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and whoever fully knows God listens to us. Those who refuse to listen to us do not belong to God. Now that's how we know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. God is love. And those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. Lies will always lead us to doubt, while truth will always lead us back to Jesus. Lies will always lead us to doubt, while truth will always lead us back to Jesus. So here's the word that's leading, okay? How Jude is fitting into this big God story. Following Jesus includes rejecting what's untrue or harmful. Following Jesus. Just because people are around the church doesn't mean they're leading people towards Jesus. That's the truth. So that's what I need to be. He's leading with this, and now I'm going to follow this. This is how what he's saying fits into my story, for me, for who I am. Sometimes we need to hear stern warnings for our own good. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. That means he definitely does love you. Because if he didn't love you, he wouldn't care. It's like the parent who just gives the kid money and drops them off at the mall. And the other kids are like, oh, wow, your parents are so cool. No, they just don't want to deal with you. They don't want to take the time to correct and to be stern. And like God has shown me mercy, showing mercy to others, I need to do that whether they're Christians or not. I should treat everybody I meet like they're a child of God, because guess what? They are. Well, okay, some of them haven't received him. I didn't say they received him. But he died for everyone. And so everybody I meet, I should treat like they're children of God. Well, gay, you know what? They got turbans on their head. I'm going to treat them as a potential lover of God, because I know that God loves them. Are you with me on this? Because it's the same thing the world's pitching out. It's the same thing the world is selling to you. Only they think that it's okay because they're judging Christians, so that makes it okay. It doesn't make it okay. But here, Judy, you're going to have these slanders, you're going to have these mockers, but here's the thing. I have the truth of God to know that if somebody is not following after God and pursuing him, he's telling me, be careful and line everything up with the word. Because there's a lot of good books out there, but if it doesn't line up with the Word for you and me, it's going to be toxic. You know, it's like Roundup. They're seeing who they can round up, and they're killing the roots of the Spirit in you and me. And I don't need to give up on people who doubt. We just talked about, neither do I need to give mercy that is not tempered with the truth of God. Because I can say, oh, well, let's just let that slide. You know, when I see little kids who are out of control and people who just let that slide, I cannot tell you how that grates my nerves. Because what they're really saying is that they're just little, let them act like that. No, you are setting a precedent for them that everywhere they go and no matter what situation they're in, they get to act out because it's okay by you. And so you're just waiting for some teacher who's going to have to deal with it later because you're not dealing with it now. Okay, that's so mean. No, I want you to see everything, guys, everything is going to feed into something later. And the Spirit is telling us, you know, let your moderation be known in all things. But here we are, we're so caught up in people's passions. We're so caught up with people who have these purpose. Here's my cause. And if you don't agree with my cause, I'm going to hate you. And I'm justified in my hatred. And there is no justification to hatred except when David said, I hate evil. Why? Because it's toxic to us. We should love the things of God and hate the things of this world. And that seems like such a strong thing, but it is strong. Because it's feeding into our systems, it's feeding into our spirits, it's feeding into our mind patterns, and it will take root and it will come forth because whatever you're intimate with, when you birth it, it's going to have the characteristics of the thing you were intimate with. Passions and purpose, fueled and aroused by hatred. It's almost like, you know, when you see these things on YouTube or on the news, and there's like swells of this hatred, and everybody's like, yeah, get them. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? And here God is telling us to be a people of forgiveness. I should forgive what was done. I should forgive. Certainly. Guys, I think anything that happened yesterday, I'd have forgiven it by today. Are you guys alive tonight? Because I want you to hear what I'm telling you. When we are feeding into this hatred that I am justified to hate, it is toxic to your soul because now you've gotten in agreement with the enemy that says, I don't have to do what God says because I'm justified in hate. Guys, wake up and see it for what it is. You're not getting even. You're never going to get even in this world. You're never going to settle a score in this world. Because when you're walking in forgiveness, you got to remember that you're starting with you. If you're in unforgiveness, then you are unforgiven. Because you can't give what you don't have. And he says, if you don't forgive your brother, how can I forgive you? Because there's this toxic thing stopping up the flow. I'm not a savior. My opinion doesn't make something true. If I'm speaking to you tonight, I'm trying to speak to you things that are in the Word. That's why I'm lining it up with these scriptures so that you understand this isn't my opinion because my opinions don't make things true. But when you sit and watch something on television and you're so incensed and full of hate when you're done with it, guys, that's a spirit and it's not of God. But when your passion becomes wrapped around that thing and you become in agreement with it, you feed and fuel that thing. And let me just say, by the end of the night, are you sleeping good? No, you're so stirred up because you become angry or you become disillusioned or bitter. And none of those things should be found for believers. I don't have all the answers, and I'm happy to tell you that. But here's what I do want you to know. None of us in here are going to have access to all the people that the world says have the answers. None of us in here are not famous enough or rich enough to have an audience with the Pope. None of us in here are rich enough or famous enough to have an audience with the Dalai Lama. None of us in this room are rich enough or famous enough to meet with kings or queens. We're not going to have those audiences. But boy, we listen to the ones who do, and they come back and they're mesmerized, and oh, we just take that, and we become hypnotized by the fact that the wealthy and the famous have this going for them. And I want to tell you something. I may never meet with a king on this earth, but my king, the King of Kings, does house calls to my house. My king comes in, and when I don't know something, I don't have to give him money before he answers me. I get honest and I say, God, here's what I have. And I want to tell you, I'm unashamed of that because I don't have all the answers. And I'm telling you tonight, somebody, even Christian believers who have all the answers, beware, they're selling something. Should I say it again? Because you're acting like I'm crazy. So let me just be crazy. Anyone, including a Christian, who tells you that they have all the answers, beware, because nobody but God has all the answers. And that's why we need him, and that's why we seek him. But I can cry out to him in my stupidity, in my ignorance, in my desperation, and he will come to me and speak to me. Where I am, there he is. And it has nothing to do with my popularity or my wealth or my influence or my sphere or circle. Because I'm not going to be discounted. It doesn't matter to me if I'm discounted in this world because I don't have a blog with 100,000 followers. Because I want to tell you something. You and I are meeting with people every day and having the opportunity to put encouragement in their hearts, and they may be the person who's going to reach the 100,000. But you and I have to do our part because it counts. So here, God, you know, I'm just saying, God, chip away these lies that's penetrated our souls. This is my cry because I'm seeing this purpose of hate, this passion of hate. And if you don't agree with my opinion, that's the reason I get to hate you. Because now you're a hater on me. Because you didn't agree with me. Guys, I can disagree with everyone in here and still love you. And I want to tell you, I can prove that because my husband and I have been married almost 42 years. And neither one of us have agreed with the other one every time. But we still love each other and we're still committed to each other. And you're not going to get that in the world. But the commitment we have is rooted in the love of God and our commitment to Him. So we seek Him before we go out and tear down. God, chip away these things that are penetrating it. I'm hearing these things. Steve's right. I shouldn't be on Facebook. It just kills me, some of the things he tells me about believers. And, you know, I know I sound like I'm getting off tonight, but I want you to understand these are the same things Jude's talking about. Anything that gets your focus off God and His love to where you want to hate somebody and unforgive somebody, to walk in your righteousness, your self-righteousness, it's not of God. I'm going to take their money. They come here and give me $5,000. I'm going to take it and say, let's pray. Just telling you. But their money doesn't give them an entrance to heaven or a better audience with God. It can buy it with the Dalai Lama. It's not going to buy it here. Are you with me? So I'm saying to God, penetrate these lies that I see because some people are so bound up in hatred. And Steve's telling me these people that, you know, I've known since they were little and they're so full of venom. I'm like, God, how can that even be right on any level? oh, well, Gay, you don't understand because this has happened. You know, all these things now have come down in the generations. Is he God or is he not? Is he God or is he limited to what happened in past generations? You know, I've told you, my grandmother came off the reservation. And when she came off the reservation, she came out without reservation. She left everything. If she had had her tribe number and kept all that stuff, we could have all gone to college for free and had free rides on a lot of stuff. But you know what she did? She pursued God and let whatever was there stay there. Well, that's not right. You were owed something because of how your grandmother was treated. I'm not owed anything because of how Jesus Christ was treated, and he's paid the price for me, and I don't have to stay in debt to a former generation that was done wrong. Guys, forgiveness does not have an expiration date. Forgiveness does not have a man compliance with it. Well, when this happens, because guess what? If you did everything somebody told you had to do to make it right before you were forgiven, you'd be in debt for the rest of your life. Because when hatred rules, it's never satisfied. Oh. You people, well, your behavior affects God's love for you, Gay. Be careful. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, he died for me. Everybody who was born after Jesus died, he died for them knowing we are born into sin. You're not born into a good family of people who do good works, and that's going to get you to heaven. You were born into sin. You need to recognize the need from God. Believe that Jesus was not just the twin brother of Satan, and he wasn't just a good prophet, and he wasn't just a man who was sent because the devil and him had the same plans, but God picked Jesus over the devils and all these crazy things. He's the living, not dead, Son of God who speaks to you through the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And you don't have to listen to somebody on television or YouTube or Instagram or any of those things tell you how life is, because he's bringing you true life. And the rest of it just wants an approval rating. Well, going to church, Gay, that's just not important. You know, you can be saved and not have to go to church. Well, that's right. I can walk in a bar and still be saved. I could go to New Orleans and just sit in a prostitute house all day and I could still be saved. Does it make sense for me to do that? Is that where I'm going to find health and life just because I can do this? I want to tell you, I am so burning up with this because I want to chip away these things that are stealing your strength and taking away from you. Because I want you to understand, guys, it's not that you don't have time to go to church. It's that it's not important to you. It's not a priority, or you'd be there. You get tickets, 50-yard line, front row, Dallas Cowboys. Bella, don't have a heart attack. But you get those tickets, and boy, you're like, you know, man, thank God that's a Saturday game, right? Because you've prioritized church. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a temptation for all of us, but I'm just asking you to think about this with me. Every generation will typically lower the standard that is set by the generation before it. Fair statement? Is that a fair statement? Do we do that? Yes. Are we all dressing up in suits and fancy dresses on Sunday and wearing hats and taking your gum at the door? No. And that's okay. But I'm just saying, every generation is taking its cues from the generation before it. And it's not that we don't have money to get this church fixed. Y'all still love me. It's that it's not a priority to get this church fixed. Because, you know, Gay, we have got to go to the movie. Now, we deserve time off. We work hard, and this is what we deserve. I want to tell you what we deserve. Now, please don't is right. Because you know what I deserve? Because I waste time that I could be using for other things. because I waste my energy and I waste my money on stuff. Listen to me. There's nobody in here who's getting all this right. This is not to make you feel guilty. This is to chip away at the things where we say, well, this is what I deserve. And yet you're going to complain about millennials because they say it? Aren't we saying the same thing? Well, I deserve this. I deserve that. I tell you what I deserve. But praise God, he's withheld what I deserved. Right? So, you know, you don't want to hear me on a Sunday morning because they'd probably clean it out. And I'm not talking to you because you're here. But I'm telling you, I'm tired of people saying we don't need church. If Jesus says you need to be together, you're the living body. We have body parts missing. I got hands that are missing in this church. I got feet that are missing in this church. I got lungs, breathing that's missing in this church. When it's not filled, we're not operating as a full body. And we need to be here, not because we're religious or we're ritualistic, but because we believe that we need to function as one body because somebody in here needs the love and affection that we can give. And listen to me. If they don't get it here, they're going to join a club or something somewhere. Because every Sunday you can go out and see, you know, the bike trails and the runners. And you know, my brother and I were talking the other, well, it's been a while, and he was telling me how discouraged he was because he did raise his children in church, as most of you did. This isn't about shame. This is about recognize where we are. Let's chip away these things that, oh, we love our kids. It's okay if they don't want to do that. No, I want my kids to be healthy spiritually. It's not okay. And he's like, you know, I'm just so brokenhearted. Because my kids that I raised in church, now they're playing ball on Sunday instead of coming to church. Now they're going to marathons and running and doing things instead of coming to church. He goes, what did I do wrong? I was like, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just not a priority to them. So let's take this down to the level of love. How would it work in your marriage, for those of you who are married or who have been married, how would it work if all of a sudden you just don't make your spouse a priority? Would you enjoy that? And if you're doing it, snap out of it. Because here's the thing. If I don't choose to make it a priority to stay in agreement with my husband, I'm going to get sidetracked and caught up in these things. Unforgiveness will come in, bitterness, fault finding, what I deserve, I should have had more at this point, blah, blah, blah. And the truth is, if we hadn't married each other, we wouldn't have it as good as we have it because God is yielding our strengths and our weaknesses in each other. There's things I would have never bought for myself. But Steve would come in and say, we're going to do this. And I'd be like, are you sure? We can't afford it. I remember our first house, interest was 14.5%. We had a little nothing house we were paying all this money for. He's like, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to have a baby. We're going to do this, Gay. And I was terrified. But you know, if we hadn't bought that first house, we couldn't have got the second one. But there's things that God gives us that we need from him. And there's things that God needs from us to give back to the body of Christ. Let's get in that place and quit making excuses and just be honest. Just be honest and just say, you know, it's just not a priority to me, Gay. And then let's just call it for what it is and move forward. But let's chip away at these things where we've condoned and where we get comfortable. Because every one of us is going to get comfortable and neutral. Because it takes a lot less effort. Oh, you know, God doesn't, you know, send people to hell. You know, that's people like, you know, God, he just sends everybody to hell. You just send us all to hell. I'm not sending you to hell. You make the choice whether you want to go to hell or not because he's paid the price for every one of us not to have to go. And I want you to know, I believe this with all my heart. I don't care how horrible a life people have lived. I just want them to get it right before they die. There's nobody that I've sat at their bedside when they're dying and said, well, you don't deserve that. God's sending you to hell. He tells me that what he's doing, he's made a way for everybody to go to heaven. And I got to forget what they did because he's forgot what I did. And want them, every person, to come to know him. Well, you don't know how some people have treated me. I don't know how you've treated other people either. But I still want everybody to go to heaven. Grace. Steve was talking about this a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, and he talked about the Ark of the Covenant and how the blood was spilled on it to cover the sin inside. The rod of rebellion and the manna of, you know, complaint and unhappiness and all these things and the law, the things that they couldn't do, and how that the blood covered the sin. But he said that grace takes away sin. I'm not using God to cover up my sin. I'm not using grace as the excuse to cover up sin. I'm saying that grace is the reason I don't have to sin because it can take it away. My lustful desires change. The thing that I thought was good, I recognize is no longer good because I know the truth. And what does the truth do? Sets you free. When we go to Jana's class and we learn about healthy eating, and then I know that I'm not eating it right, I feel so guilty sometimes I want to hide while I eat what I want. But I know that my sin is where my secrets are. So I always try to eat it with somebody watching me so I'm accountable, and I'll become a closet eater. Well, don't tell everything you know. Grace isn't covering your sin and looking for a loophole to keep you bound to it. Grace is the power to overcome sin and to take it away and all of its repercussions and all of its consequences to get me through it. Well, you know, if I embezzle money, I'm going to prison. God's not getting me out of that. No, but I do believe this. I believe he can put me in the right prison with the right people. Who's with me? Here's the deal. How many of you pay electric bills? Raise your hand. Glory to God, electric bills. Well, here's the thing. Let's just say that you got an electric bill, right? But you're just like, you know what? I am tired of paying these bills, and I'm not going to pay it this time. And, you know, that's just how I feel about it. Well, you get your electricity turned off, so you're mad because they turned your electricity off. And then you find out that there was a program that was going to help you to either pay partial or to pay just somebody who could come alongside you and help, but you didn't check out any of those things because you just got mad and you just decided to quit. So you're not implementing what's there to help you. I want to tell you, I think that's kind of like the same way about salvation. Sometimes we just want to quit. You know, I'm just going to slide on this one. But I want to tell you, there's something he's implemented for you to give you the strength and courage to rest while he takes care of you. He doesn't expect you to be out there just going at it every day, doing everything perfect. And neither is that an excuse not to try to work for him, because that's why most people don't believe in Christianity today. Do you know that most Muslims who watch American television, because America is a Christian nation and they've never been over here, they believe that's what we believe as Christians, is how to live like that? Because they're watching MTV and our movies and they think that's what we think Christianity is. I read this guy in New York, I just read this article today, and he's not even a Christian. But he talked about the myths that Muslims have about Christians, and this was part of it. And he said a young girl had come there to school, to college in New York, and she said, I'd like for you to throw me a Christian birthday party. He said, really? And she said, oh, yes. And he said, well, What does that look like? She says, you know, a lot of booze and dancing, and I want to get to wear scanty clothes because I can't do any of those things as a Muslim. Because that's their idea of us. Because we're a Christian nation. I want to tell you something. I may not get everything right. If you followed me around, I'd be so ashamed that you saw me sometimes when I get frustrated and I say things that I shouldn't say. And, you know, man, thank God there's not an amplifier in my brain, you know, saying out what I'm thinking. Just thank you, Jesus, for that wasn't part of our makeup. Seriously. Because, you know, there ain't no mute button on your brain. Just glad y'all aren't hearing it. But the truth is that when we recognize that we aren't perfect, that's when we become humble and say, I need a Savior. And God has not only provided me a Savior because He knew my flawed life, but He's provided the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. And guys, at any point, if I can stop out of me and whatever passion or purpose is driving me and get back into the thing where, God, what is it you want to say to me in this situation? Because I'm freaking out. I may not hear an answer right away, but He'll calm me down where I can listen. And I guarantee you I can go to His Word and find a truth that will speak to my life. And if I can't, I'm not getting in agreement with it. No matter how good it looks or what it is. I'm going to read to you Luke 6, 24 through 26 out of the Message. But before I do, on your little chip bag, if you didn't get a bag of chips, you need to get one because this scripture's on it. But I want to first share this out of Luke, verse 24 through 26 with you. But if it's trouble ahead, if you think you have it made, what you have is all you'll ever get. It's all trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think your life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers there are who were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. To you who are ready for truth, I say this, love your enemies. And that's going to lead us into verse 24, and that's where we're going to go next week. But I hope, my goal is that tonight I've chipped away at some of those things that we've been poisoned by in our spirits. And now when you hear those comments, when you're out with your coworkers, when you're watching that Christian American television, that it's going to make you realize that is not of God. That is pure hatred. Look at those people. They're fueled. They're passion and purpose is they're driven by hatred and they lust after it like a shark after blood in the water. And the scripture that's on your little chip bag is this, 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 17, out of the Message. Repeat these basic essentials over and over to God's people. Warn them before God against pious nitpicking. All these guys are coming in and telling the same story to every church. Because guys, the thing that I'm telling you doesn't mean that we're evil. It means that evil is in the world and it wants to destroy the God in you. You with me? It says, which chips away at the faith. It just wears everyone out. Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth, plain and simple. Stay clear of pious talk that is only talk. Words are not mere words, you know. If they're not backed by a godly life, the accumulate is poison in the soul. Because I believe this. I believe everybody's preaching something. And I believe that some people want it for approval. Because approval ratings, whether it's a like on a social media or how many pins you get on Pinterest or how many hits you get to make something go viral and make you money. May all of you have wonderful viral videos that make you money. I'm praying for you that you won't have. I'm praying, and I like for people to get in agreement with me that nobody that comes to this church will be in debt. I believe that. I think we should all pray that for each other. Lord, let none of us be in debt. Let none of us, God, be dependent, God, on a doctor, but be healed by you. Not that I'm not for doctors. You all know that. But why should we believe to settle if he's provided for something? So I'm just telling you, let's pray for each other. Let's believe for each other. Let's encourage each other. And let's get a healthy body that can stand up. So when this hand's weak, the other hand can say, I'll lift that. Right? So when this leg wants to go this way, this can say, no, I'm not moving. I'm not going to go there with you. We've got to get the toxic poisons of this world out. Let's stay in agreement with Jude, with John, with Peter, with Paul. Almost sounds like the Beatles for a minute there. Let's stay in agreement with them and chip away these things that are the same simple things that everybody's gotten tripped up with from generation to generation. You're not evil. You live in an evil world. And God's made a way of escape. Stop letting the enemy tell you it's you, that you're evil, and turn around and say, no, you're toxic. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to do the exact opposite. Amen? So, Father, tonight I just pray that your word would be clear. I pray that your word, God, would go before us, Lord, where we are not looking, God, to judge, but we are looking, God, to you to clean out these filters in our souls that have become polluted with the world's garbage, God. Help me, God, to focus on truth, that there is life and life abundant. Help me to focus, God, on receiving forgiveness from you and giving it as freely as I've received it from you to those around me. God, deliver me from the worldly thinking that I'm justified to hate somebody. God, help me to love people the way you love me so that your spirit, God, can flow, not just through others, but it can fill me, God, that I can be sure and be an example and be honest before other people, Lord. Because, God, you have saved me. You have kept me sane. You are moving in my life, and you are answering our prayers, God. And we just want to thank you right now, God. You're the true one. You are God. Deliver us from evil, oh God. I pray the same prayer you prayed, Jesus. Deliver us from evil. And don't lead us in temptation, God. But Lord, show me the way of escape. Let me be looking, God. May grace lead us tonight. Thank you for that, Jesus, I pray. In your sweet name. And they all said, amen. Woo, amen. Listen, we're coming up already on the end of summer feeding. We're coming up on giving out backpacks and supplies. That's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. And we're not advertising it on the sign or outside because when we do, we always get slammed the last week. And what we're trying to do is take care of the kids who come here to eat, take care of their needs, and we're sending the rest of them to the high school where they're giving away supplies through the city. There is really good food for you guys tonight. God's blessing us with Tarrant County. We're getting more food. Cheryl's putting the food out in the front. So I just encourage you to get that. And guys, I'm just praying that there was nothing I said that makes you feel bad or guilty tonight. I'm just praying that you hear the pure word and we can look at what's going on and say, God, you got a better way. Amen. I love you.